Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. If you are ready to take the next steps in being empowered and motivated and better equipped for success, then stay tuned. We have got two dynamite guests with us today. Our first guest is Heather Parquette, and she is the managing partner for KPMG in Michigan, where she is responsible for the strategic direction and growth of KPMG's Detroit and Grand Rapids office in making KPMG a great place to build a career. Heather has more than 22 years of financial audit, information technology, and business process experience focusing on risk and control. Heather is also a veteran of the United States Air Force, and prior to joining KPMG, served in the United Kingdom and the Southern Regional Operations Center for NATO in Naples, Italy. Heather has received numerous awards. Just to mention a few, she received the National Athena Award recipient. She's recognized by Glass Hammer as a rising star, by Illinois CPA Society as a woman to watch, and in 2010, also received Mother of the Year Award for Working Mothers Magazine. Heather, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you. I look forward to being here.
Well, I'm glad you could join us. You know, a lot of people may not know, or our listeners may not know, what a managing partner is. Could you just maybe explain, as a managing partner of KPMG's Detroit office, what exactly do you do and what does that title mean?
Okay. So as the managing partner for KPMG in Michigan, what it means is that I'm responsible for the strategic growth of our market as well as making KPMG a great place to work. And so what that really means is that I work with all of the partners and professionals in delivering services to our clients and making sure that we're bringing value to the companies that we serve. And it also has a very visible role in the community where I'm serving on a number of not-for-profit boards, but I'm the visible face of the firm out in the community and working with the partners and professionals of KPMG to really increase the brand in the market.
Now I understand. Very good. Thank you. So tell us a little bit about your journey. Where did you start and how did you get to be a managing partner? Walk us through that journey a little bit.
Okay. So as you had mentioned, I actually got my career start in the Air Force, and I started out working in England as a mainframe computer operator and really getting some technology skills as part of that. And in the middle of that, there was Desert Storm, so I did guard a base for a short time during Desert Storm. Then I moved on to work for NATO in Italy, and I was a telecommunications specialist. So I really got a start in technology and understanding, you know, the technical components of how we communicate. Then I went to college while I was in England and Italy as well, but I got out of the Air Force and then I finished my college. And while I was going through college, I was an intern in accounting at a local firm, and then I had a great chance to intern with KPMG and then later start in the auditing practice. After being with the firm for a short time, I decided that I wanted to be in one of the emerging practices, so I moved over into the IT team, and I was able to leverage my background and experience from the Air Force, as well as the financial audit experience to really understand the IT risks related to processing financial information.
So your IT background really served you well then?
It did. It provided a great foundation for my understanding and then really being able to apply it to how companies think about their financials and what risks could be posed as a result of IT. And so then I moved around from different offices within the firm. There's always great opportunity to be able to take on new responsibility and move within the firm. So I moved from St. Louis up to Chicago and just continued to excel in the area from an IT standpoint and then took on different responsibilities related to the practice that I was working in as well as from a Midwest capacity. But throughout the way, I'd volunteered a lot for different things to help me understand how the firm operated. So, you know, I served in roles as a training partner, a network of women leader, different roles to just help me understand how the firm operated as part of that. And then eventually I moved over to Detroit as the managing partner. And so throughout that, I worked a lot with other managing partners, and I was very interested in the role and what did it mean. And so I started meeting with some of them to just talk about what it meant. And in doing so, I found that there were some gaps that I had in my ability to do a role like this. And so, you know, I began working and thinking about them and then thinking about how I could enhance my skills and understand, you know, how do you develop relationships in a market? How do you understand the breadth of the audit, tax, and advisory services that we provide? And then how do you, you know, bring this intersection of service to the company's business needs? And so, you know, I was really working on for quite a while the skills that I would need to be able to serve a market like Detroit, like Michigan. And, you know, it was combined with the desire of Detroit being really a great American city and going to make a comeback. And then there was optimism in there as well of wanting to be part of it and having a visible impact in the community. So it's really a great time to be in Detroit, be in Michigan. There's great things happening here.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of different things. I kind of like to just real recap quickly for our listeners. One, I heard you got a solid education, which was in IT, and then you're able to leverage that in getting your job. And then one of the other things I heard you say is that you volunteered a lot, and that was so you could get a better understanding of the company. And is that right?
Yeah, that is. So just on my schooling, I did have an accounting degree and an IT degree, so it was a combination. But I think that you talked a little bit about that, is that, you know, I often volunteered for different things. And so one of the early ones that I did was there's an opportunity to be a national instructor for our firm, and it allows you to, you know, teach other people about different topics. And it's one of those roles that is just really, it's highly regarded within the firm. And your ability to understand what it is we do and how we do it and then to train other people is really just a great opportunity to enhance your skills. And so I had a partner that I worked for early on when I first volunteered for this first role, who said, you know, you do it three times, and the first time that you do it, you know, one, you're learning and you're trying to enhance your skill. The second time, you're getting good and you're perfecting the ability to do it. And then the third time, you're training somebody else. And so he kind of coached me to go through a process as I was volunteering for different roles, and that, you know, there's an aspect of taking on more responsibility and more work, but there also should be some objective of what skills you're building. And if you're understanding the firm better, or you're getting to know other people and understanding what they do and the value that you bring, that you have a lot of knowledge, and you can take the knowledge at some point and apply it to the different business situations. And so he kind of taught me this process where you want to get this understanding, and then you can later, you know, apply that to a market or to a company that you're doing business with.
Well, I think what you just said was really important. You know, what I'm hearing is one of your keys to success was the ability to look at the gaps in your role, as I heard you say it, and then look at how you can enhance those gaps. And one of the ways that you did that was by volunteering to try and fill those gaps.
Exactly.
I mean, and I think that's a great success strategy. I mean, you know, we need to take an honest look at ourselves to say, okay, what's working? Where do I want to go? And where are those gaps of information I need to learn? And you did it by volunteering. And luckily, you're able to volunteer within the organization you're with.
Right. I think there's also a component, you know, as you said, is you can volunteer within an organization, but you can also volunteer externally to get some new skills. You know, I think that that's one of the broader challenges, you know, that I've faced, is this idea of this constant learning and really wanting to have a goal of being better today than I was yesterday. And that's something that's organizationally and in a high-performance culture is something that we often coach our team members to say, you know, you really have to take what you've learned and you have to apply it to different situations, and you have to evolve your skill because that evolution of your skills brings value to our clients.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. So let's talk a little bit about some of the other challenges that you had to face along your journey. What were some of those challenges?
Okay. Well, so the first one, I think, was this idea of the constant learning and really being better today than you are yesterday. And so I think I've talked a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the second one is really this idea of learning to be resilient with setbacks. And so I think that over time, you know, you get feedback throughout your career on the things that you may not be doing as well. And you have to really be resilient, or maybe you have a setback where you didn't get the promotion you wanted, you didn't get the client you wanted. You know, maybe the client you were on that you wanted didn't want you. And so I think that there's an aspect of being able to, you know, take some of the setbacks that you may perceive over your career and not be overwhelmed by them, but being able to say, you know, what did I learn from that interaction and what could I have done to be a better professional, a better partner, a better mother, you know, better family member. And so I think that the resiliency that you need to have in a professional environment is pretty key. And, you know, we've all had situations where maybe we were upset, and sometimes, you know, in ours, it's very important that when you're upset, you don't actually perform at the highest level. So if you're upset that you didn't get a promotion and then you carry that forward, then you actually are then not worthy of the promotion. So it's a little bit more where you have to kind of be upset. You have the emotions surrounding the particular setback, and then you have to resolve it in whatever way you can, and you have to move on and learn from it. And so I think that's been a challenge, is to learn how to, you know, take setbacks, take the feedback, the things that are sometimes hard to hear, and then learn from them and be a better professional as part of that.
Well, I think that's really important as well. I mean, because you're absolutely right. I mean, we do get a lot of upsets of things don't go quite the way that we had envisioned they were, you know, things were going to go. And you need to just kind of regroup and learn from those and say, okay, what could I have done better? What should I have done different? And let's just keep moving forward.
Right.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that's a really key piece. Now, did you take any classes or anything to help you with that? Or
yeah, I think there, you know, from an overall opportunity standpoint, is that the firm has provided a lot of really great training where we get leadership training at different levels within our career. And so I've attended, you know, on the firm's behalf, you know, different training with regard to resiliency and political capital and getting buy-in for ideas and different leadership aspects. But I've also read a fair amount of books as to how to go about doing that. And I'd say then even as importantly, I've talked to a lot of professionals as to how they've reacted with that. And I think there's a core component of having a lot of, you know, coaches or having a lot of mentors that you can go to talk through some of the difficult situations that you have and identifying what you can do to move beyond it. And some of them, you know, I think about one of the biggest setbacks that I had at one point was when I had come off of maternity leave and a large client that I was working with had another partner assigned and I didn't end up going back onto the engagement. And at the time, I was very overwhelmed by having to return to work after, you know, having one of my sons, and I was very disappointed about not having this client. And, you know, there are a couple of ways I could have been overwhelmed and then just not been successful as a result. And I had a really great coach and mentor who helped me with, like, the terminology of how I could look at it. So, you know, he coached me to look at it as newfound capacity. You know, I had this capacity now. And he gave me ideas and strategies about, you know, talking to partners, getting outreach to partners, and getting some ideas about what it was I could be doing. And so it's kind of like every door that closes, there's another door that opens, and there's an opportunity there to change and reinvent yourself. And so he really helped me reinvent myself, and then it gave me an opportunity to actually expand my skills. So I was extremely challenged. I was extremely disappointed. But with some coaching and mentoring, then I was able to look at that as opportunity. And then with the opportunity, I ended up enhancing my skills. I didn't have this master plan to enhance the skills. It was more of a survival mentality of just wanting to get through it and not be disappointed by it. And so, but at the end of it, I think that I learned a great deal about, you know, what do you do with capacity? How do you reinvent yourself? You know, how do you become a self-starter for your career and where you're headed?
Wow, that I think that's really great information. You know, we have to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more. So you're listening to Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco and Heather Parkett from KPMG. And we'll be right back.
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, and we are speaking to KPMG's managing partner, Heather Paquette. And Heather, just before the break, you were talking about some of the challenges that you had, especially after the birth of one of your sons. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about possibly the challenges of work-life balance. Did you have any?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as Deanne, as you pointed out, the challenge of being able to, you know, balance my family commitment with my work expectations is always one that is constant on my mind. I have three sons who are under 7, and, you know, every time I tell somebody that, they go, gosh, you have a big job, and how do you do that? And, you know, I think there's an aspect of understanding the role that I'm supposed to play on behalf of KPMG in the community. But there's also the prioritization of my family in that. And so there's a couple of different ways as I've evolved through my career that I've managed that. And some of it has to do with, you know, making sure that I'm visible in the community, but I'm not out every single night and away from my family. And so we have a very flexible work environment that allows me to, you know, spend a little bit more time at home when I need to with my boys, especially if I've been, you know, out late at dinners or events on behalf of the firm. And so that's a core component of being able to say, you know, do I have enough time and am I doing the right things on behalf of my family? There also is an approach where I look at is to how are you a fully engaged leader? And so, you know, to me it's not that I have more time to spend with my family, but it's the quality of the time that I spend. And so, you know, I make sure that if I'm on a conference call for work and I'm on my way home and I'm driving, that, you know, I'll sit in the car and wait until my phone call is over so that when I walk in the house, I can switch gears and I'm mom. And so it's usually good so that when they tackle me that, you know, whoever I'm talking to on the phone isn't offended. But it's really making sure that, you know, I want to, in addition to being the best professional on behalf of KPMG, you know, I want to be the best mother. I want to be the best daughter. I want to be the best wife as well. And so where I found that the challenge is also, you know, bringing some of that authenticity into the workforce, is that sometimes my team views me as someone who's doing all of these great things and out and so busy. And I think they wonder whether, you know, I'm spending enough time with my family or if my family is at risk because of that. And so, you know, I found it's been a little harder for me to bring that component to help the team understand how incredibly balanced I am, because I'm always worried that they will think that, you know, maybe I'm not working enough. And so I've really been very pointed more recently to help the team understand that I do have a life. I do have a great life with my husband, Paul, and my boys. And, you know, it's very important. So I'm trying to bring some of that authenticity into the workforce and helping them understand that, you know, sometimes I have bad days with the, you know, where I need to, you know, pay more attention to my kids or my family and do that. And then we all bring that into the workforce. And I think you have to be authentic and a little bit transparent with how that works.
You know, I heard two really important things that you just said. One of them being that you're very careful around how you use your time. And so you're using time in its, you know, in its fullest. And the second piece that I really heard you say is that you are, I call it being right here, right now.
Yeah.
So if you're with your children, you are right here, right now. Your mind isn't wandering someplace else. If you're at work, you're right here, right now. So your mind isn't wandering again. So those are the two really things that I'm hearing really loud and clear. Is that what you would say?
Yes, I do think that you have to be present and engaged in what you're doing. And, you know, it will make everybody around you feel the value of your time. And so, I can't stress that enough.
I think that's very important, you know, and I think it's for women, it's really hard when we have children and you have T-ball and everything else going on, you know, that to be right here, right now.
I think being a mom as well, it's also about, you know, no regrets as well. If you choose to be a working mom, then sometimes it does take, you know, a village to get everything done, and sometimes it doesn't work out well, but you know, when other people are caring for your children, the only thing that you can hope for is that they love your kids as much as you do, and you can't ever be afraid of that.
Sure.
So, and you have to be confident in your role as mom. Like, there's no one in my family who can replace me.
Right.
And as long as you know your kids and your family and your husband and know that they have your love and attention, then it works out well.
So what advice would you have for women who are starting out today?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different areas I'd offer advice. I think the first one is this idea of really, you know, get really good at the job that you were hired to do. And, you know, you need to bring a can-do attitude to work about understanding what it is you do and how your job fits into your organization or into the community.
Mm-hmm.
And just focusing on, you don't want to think about, well, I want that job just yet. You got to be really good at your job and how it fits mm-hmm. into the organization. And then I think you have to be good at developing relationships with your peers, with your boss, and with your community. And it's that relationship that will help you, you know, get the understanding that you need to be successful in an organization.
Very good. You know, I like that don't go looking for a better job or a different job in your company. Be good at the one you were hired at first.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's good to have a strategic thought about what skills you want to develop, but you can't focus on the next job just yet. You have to get good at the first one that you were hired to do, but you do need to be aware of where you can enhance your skills. And so I think it's good to have relationships that are a little bit more strategic within an organization where you can get that understanding. But, you know, you do want to be, you don't ever get the next job unless you were good at the job you were hired to do.
And that's really true. I you know, I think so many people forget that. They go, I'll be much better at the next job than what I'm at now. You don't get the next job until you're good at the one that you're at right now.
Right.
And then I like the other piece that you talked about is the can-do attitude and develop strategic relationships, which I thought was very interesting as well. So looking back on your career, what would you say is the one thing that really helped you succeed?
You know, I think from a success standpoint, and it gets to this idea of, you know, when you bring a can-do attitude and you're good at thinking about the organization, then people want to help and develop you. And so, you know, people want to help and develop, you know, people that they think have the potential. And so when I think about my success within the organization, it's this idea that, you know, there's a tremendous amount of support within KPMG from mentoring programs. And people have really helped mentor and develop me. And part of that is that I feel like I'm always willing to learn, and I want to be a better professional. I want to be a better partner. And so when you meet your commitments on what you need to develop and you bring that can-do attitude, it's surprising how many people want to help and they want to give you guidance and they want to coach you. And they're open with the information that you need to be successful within your job.
Well, I think that's really important. I think one of the things that you have said throughout this whole interview is that you were constantly being coached and mentored. And it sounds like it, that coaching and mentoring kind of stem from your whole can-do attitude and your personal striving for constant learning.
Yes.
Wow, I think that's really interesting. I mean, just real, one real quick question. Do you still in, I mean, now that you're at the top of KPMG, do you still, are you still in this constant learning mode?
Oh, yeah. I'm a leader at KPMG, but, you know, we have a lot of different levels of leadership. And so, you know, we have this really great program where you get upward feedback. And so you get a chance on an annual basis to ask your the teams that work for you, your peers, the people you report to, you know, assess your performance based upon what they expect it to be. And so, you know, I'm actually going through the process right now where I've gotten my most recent upward feedback, and I'm working with a coach through KPMG to help me identify what I could do better and, you know, what are my strengths as well. So you don't want to lose out that there are things you do well, there's things that, you know, you should do more of, and then there are things you should stop doing. And so it's really the KPMG performance management process really goes through and allows you to do this self-assessment. And so at every level of leadership within the firm, there's always an idea of, you know, where do you need to make adjustments to enable and bring out the full potential of your team.
Well, I think the continual learning piece is absolutely critical. I mean, before we sign off here, tell us a little bit about KPMG.
So KPMG is the audit, tax, and advisory firm of KPMG International. And so we have over 152 professionals in 156 countries. And
wow.
So we are, you know, as a major professional services firm, KPMG helps clients to address their needs ranging from financial audit, tax compliance, international tax, mergers and acquisitions, you know, information risk management, supply chain management. And so we provide a wide variety of professional services to companies in many different industries.
So you KPMG mainly works with companies versus individuals?
Yes, the primary clients that we have are, you know, Fortune 1000 companies, Fortune 500 companies that we work with. But we also have a private markets group as well that works with private companies and individuals to bring services and value to them as well.
Oh, very interesting. So it's a worldwide organization, not just the United States.
It is worldwide. And it's great. We have, you know, there's the member firms of KPMG, it allows us to connect and bring value to companies that are multinational. And, you know, there are also several mechanisms for us as partners to get to know our partners and peers in other countries. And some of it's through the leadership program, some of it's through just our global coordination. So I've had a great opportunity to meet, you know, so many different professionals in different countries that I have a great network across the world.
Well, that is very, very good. That'll help our international listeners out as well. I can't believe we are out of time. And Heather, I would like to thank you very much for being on today's show. It's been a true joy. I could talk to you for like forever.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Deanne, for including me. It's a great opportunity, and I'm honored by it.
Well, listeners, stay tuned. When you come back from break, you're going to be talking to the voice on your GPS. The GPS girl is going to be our second guest this afternoon. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Deanne DeMarco, today's Inspiring Women.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest-growing Growing Market segment by becoming a sponsor for Today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we have got a special treat. Have you ever wondered who the voice was of your GPS unit? Well, I have got Karen Jacobson on the line today, and she is the voice of your GPS unit. When Karen Jacobson walks on the stage, there is no question that she is in the driver's seat. She's known as the GPS gal. Karen Jacobson's speaking voice is in over, I think, 25 million or 100 million. She'll have to clue us in on what the number is today. GPS units around the world giving drivers directions worldwide. She has appeared on ABC World News Tonight, CBS Early Show, The New York Times, U.S. Daily News. Glamour Magazine has named her one of People's Magazine's most intriguing people. She speaks and sings to groups who want to inspire to be the best of their people and to create a roadmap for the future. She is the voice that guides you when you are lost and reassures you when you are wondering if you are headed in the right direction. She was once hired to do 50 hours of voiceover job that resulted in the GPS units worldwide. You could say she specializes in telling people where to go. She has a book, and that book is called The GPS Girl's Road Map for Your Future, and she shows how to move from the passenger seat to the driver's seat to learn to listen to your inner GPS and to recalculate at a time in life as we do when we drive. An accomplished and an award-singing singer, songwriter, and pianist, she has 6 CDs of her own songs that have been released. Karen, welcome to Today's Inspiring Women.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm good. Well, let's get this clear right away. How many GPS devices are you in?
Well, it keeps increasing. So it's now over 100 million units around the world.
100 million units around the world. Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
I got to tell you, I love you.
Oh, really? I like hearing happy stories. Tell me more.
Oh, well, there have been so many times, you know, as a speaker, I travel around the country, and I depended on you to get me where I needed to go. But enough about me. How did you get this job?
Well, would you believe it was an audition? I'd moved to New York City from Australia, and a couple of years after I moved here, so in 2002, I received a call from an agent, and they had a client looking for a voiceover artist who was a native Australian female voiceover artist living in the northeast of the United States. And I read that brief and I thought, this job, that's me. This job is mine. And I went to the audition and I got the job, and that is how it happened.
Wow. You know, it's just a bit. And how long ago is that? That had been some time ago now.
In 2002.
Well, I'll tell you, I just... I don't know what I would do without my GPS device. So not only is your voice in the GPS devices, but you're also an accomplished singer and songwriter. Is that correct?
That's my trade. And that is why I came to New York. It's what I've always wanted to do ever since I was tiny. When I was 7 years old, I saw Olivia Newton-John on television, and I knew I wanted to grow up and be just like her and be a professional singer and move to America. And singing and writing songs is something that I've done my whole life.
Now, I actually heard you sing for the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah.
And you have a gorgeous voice. But I understand that you've sung for some other really big audiences. What? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's an interesting situation because I am from Australia and I'm a very proud Australian, but I'm also a proud New Yorker, I have to say, after 13 years here. And I love to sing the national anthem, and I have been asked to sing the national anthem for lots of big events, including a Red Sox game at Fenway Park in Boston. That was for 34,000 people. I sang for the Knicks at Madison Square Garden in New York City, which was extremely exciting. My largest audience, though, was for a Jets game at Giant Stadium for over 80,000 people.
Wow. You just have a gorgeous voice. You know, one of the things I really love is that you articulate so clearly.
Oh, thank you for saying that, because not everybody, I don't feel like that's appreciated in the world like it should be. You know, I hear songs and I've got no idea what somebody is singing, and it sounds good and it feels good to the music, is enjoyable, but to me it's important to hear clearly what people are saying or singing.
I absolutely agree. So how did you come about to create your brand, the GPS Girl?
Well, my speaking voice came out in GPS units and then in other devices. It's in elevators, in car parks, it's in cruise ships, it's in hotel systems, it's in light rail systems. I mean, my voice is in a lot of different interesting places and wacky places right around the world. And after it came out in the GPS systems, people would come up to me and they wanted to tell me about their relationship with their GPS. And they wanted to say, oh, Karen, I'm so happy to meet you. If it wasn't for you, I would still be lost. My friends and I, we were going through the mountains in Italy, and you got us to our destination. Or somebody else said, we just took a great trip, Karen, you and I. We drove to my cousin's wedding in Milwaukee. I mean, I just got this all the time. And people would say, oh, I have a name for you. Do you have a name for your GPS voice, Deanne?
No, I don't.
No, there's nothing wrong with that, but a lot of people do. They say, oh, my goodness, we call you Miriam, or we call you Mrs. Pushy, or whatever name that they come up with. And it is just so fun and entertaining. So after quite a number of these, I knew there was something in it, and there was something to create. And then I just made the link between directions in the car and directions for life, and I melded my love of personal development and the theme of the GPS, and that's how the GPS Girl brand began.
Well, one of the things that I think is really interesting is in your book, you talk about the concept of recalculating and the directions for life, which is exactly what you do with the GPS unit. When I make the wrong turn, you recalculate and
yes,
give me a new direction. So talk about this a little bit more with your recalculating and the directions for life.
Well, you know, that word recalculating often gets a reaction when people hear it in the car. And, you know, when I ask audiences when I'm speaking at events, you know, what is that word, that one word you don't like to hear very much, and they always yell out, oh, recalculating. Because I think as human beings, we hear that word, to us we think, oh, we've done something wrong. You know, you've taken a wrong turn, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm in trouble, I did something wrong, so people feel badly. And I like to recalculate the meaning of the word recalculating and to say that, you know, recalculating is actually good news. And by the time you've heard that word, it means you're already back on track. So it's actually great news when you hear that word, not something to think, oh, I made a mistake. And I love to apply it to life and to business, that you can recalculate at any time of the day, in a meeting, in the middle of a project, with your organization, that we, you know, things are changing all the time. And we're often, on a daily basis, we're course correcting what we're doing when we are in our workplace or just in our personal lives. And new information comes to light and we want to change the direction we're headed, sometimes in a big way and sometimes ever so slightly. So I like to you know, really promote that principle of recalculating to reframe what might be seen as negative as a positive action in life.
Yeah, I think that the whole concept of recalculating, I think you're right on the money there, because I know when I was getting lost in wherever I was, whatever state I happened to be in, I looked forward, and if I knew if I turned wrong, you would recalculate, the GPS
right.
would recalculate, and your voice would reassure me that you would still get me to where I was going to go.
Right.
And I think you're right on the money with that.
Well, when you say the word reassurance, I want to just jump in and say that that is what I also like to think that using that term can bring. It's reassurance that it's okay. Everything's okay. We're just going to recalculate. We're going to lighten it up.
Yeah. In fact, there are times when I'd say, okay, I'm not going to worry about it because it will recalculate.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just something I could count on.
And imagine if you could apply that to life. And to, you know, and to
yeah.
work and to how we run our businesses. And just like, you know what, I'm not going to worry because it's going to be okay. And if something isn't perfect, because let's face it, what is perfect, we can always recalculate and we'll get back on track.
Yeah, I just love that whole concept. I really do, because I think you're right on the money that we just need to put our personal faith that things will recalculate and it will turn out all right and we'll get to our destination.
Yes.
As long as we stay on track.
That's right.
And don't shut you off.
Exactly. Well, I think even more so than as long as we stay on track is if we're staying mindful. You know, if we're paying attention, I think that's the biggest thing because we can go off track. But then to be paying attention at the moment that happens so that we can recalculate, I think that's what makes the difference.
I think you're absolutely right.
And to not keep going down a road that's not a good idea and finding ourselves lost for weeks, months or years. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, it's just all about putting that one foot in front of the other and just, you know, keep going.
I say that a lot. I love that term. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. You know, I know that you help women succeed, as you mentioned with your book. Do you have a number of supportive women in your life?
Oh my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. And this is a topic very close to my heart, because when I was first out of college and working in the music business and running my own business, I was lost. I was finding my way on my own. Maybe I wasn't completely lost, but I was just looking for how do you do this? And I, you know, I didn't really feel like I had a community of supportive people or women around me. I felt like it was always a competition. That's what I felt like. Everything was a competition. And it's now taken me many decades or several decades to get to this point in my 40s where I now have a completely different attitude to the way I do things. I want to help people. So if I can connect you with somebody and that connection might spark some magic for one or both of you, and I'm not going to benefit in a direct financial way, I'm just fine with that. In fact, I don't need to have that, you know, that spin-off or kickback. It's fine with me, because the way I look at things is that if we move forward in any way, we are all winning. So I just love looking at the big picture of everybody winning. And I belong to a great group in New York, and the Australian Women in New York group. And I have this incredible community of women who, many of whom have this attitude, and we just help each other. And it's funny how things just come back around when you are somebody who wants to support other people and specifically other women to succeed, how that happens to come back around to your own life without you even intentionally creating it that way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, we have to take away for a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about networking. So we're going to take a quick break. This is Deanne DeMarco on today's Inspiring Week Women, and we are speaking to the GPS Gal. Be right back.
Okay.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market. One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com for more information.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN. You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we are talking to the GPS gal, Karen Jacobson. And Karen, just before break, you were talking about networking and how you enjoy networking with people and helping other women out. And I think this is really important because I have found that a lot of women just do not help other women. They see each other as competitors rather than helping one another. Have you found that to be true as well?
I found that to be true for a lot of years, especially in the entertainment business. And it's only in the last few years that I have really seen what is possible. And I love to meet with and assist and connect people, men or women. And I guess I don't really even understand that old way of doing things anymore. And I find when I meet somebody, I can work out pretty quickly. Are you somebody who wants to play that way? Are you somebody who wants to be in basically on my team of people in my life who we think that way and support each other? And I have quite a large network of amazing and inspiring women who do work that way.
So how did you go about creating your network?
It was quite haphazard for years, but then a few years ago when I started to develop my speaking business, I became a member of the National Speakers Association, and through that organization, I attend regular chapter meetings and have met an amazing network of both men and women. But, you know, my speaking women friends, I am extremely close with. And then there's another networking group I joined in New York City, and that's what I would recommend to people is look for a group that you can become a part of so you can be right there meeting like-minded women who want to support each other. And this other group is Australian Women in New York. Again, incredible women. We are all up to something. We all have, you know, a mission in life, and it is very exciting to work together and support one another along the way.
So what I think I hear you saying is that you're actually going out and seeking and looking for like-minded women.
Yeah, and sometimes I happen upon them in daily life, and that's joy, but it doesn't always happen that way. So I would recommend just getting intentional about it, because if you are surrounded by people who you feel are dragging you down or certainly not supporting you or listening for your greatest potential and future,
there is another way. I'm here to say there's another way, and it's so much more fun for everybody.
I absolutely agree. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful skill to develop as your networking skills and to look for those like-minded women. You know, one of the questions I have for you is, now you're married and you have a son, right?
I do, a 5-year-old son.
5-year-old. So how do you go about balancing your work? I mean, the demands on you as an entertainer are really a demanding job. I mean, all hours of the day and night. How do you go about balancing your work life and your home life?
It's an ongoing learning curve, shall I say, and there are moments where I feel like I do not have it together at all, and there are moments like, at the moment, I'm feeling like, you know, I'm almost getting this worked out, but I was thinking about it recently, and I think it's the result of many small actions that I take consistently to get myself very organized in advance. In advance would be my two words for this topic. And the more I can have the school calendar or my child's activity calendar in my calendar, and I work very diligently to put in what's most important first. So for me, what's most important first is my own well-being. So I put in my own my yoga classes and any personal development and training I'm doing and things like that. And then I put in my son's schedule. And then I've got a framework to work around. Do I always get to work around it? No. Do I shuffle things around? Absolutely. But it gives me a very strong starting point. And, you know, I can't be looking too far out in the future. I mean, right now I'm working on my schedule from April through August of next year and really looking at, well, look, when we will be traveling, where we will be traveling, who's coming with me, if anybody, and just getting ahead of it. And it takes practice, but I have to say that after practicing that for the 5 years since I had my son, I'm starting to feel like less panicked, shall we say. I used to be really panicked about it. Now I have built some skills and have a very wonderful neighborhood community, an extremely supportive husband. You know, we're really a team, even though he also has a very busy work schedule and travel schedule. But it's piece by piece. It's a bit like that one foot in front of the other that you said before. It's building a foundation over time.
Yeah, and I think I'm hearing you also say that, you know, the time management piece for you is really prioritizing.
Yes.
Your life and what's really important here, and putting that in perspective, and then have everything else fit around it.
Look, if I can't take, you know, earlier this week we took a day. My husband had been traveling for 7 weeks, which is a very long time. We had seen him during that time, but he hadn't been home in that long a period of time over this summer. And he came home, and I recalculated my schedule and my son's, and we took him out of summer camp for a day, and I worked very hard to not make appointments that day, and let me tell you, it's challenging to do that. And we went to Central Park, and they had this beautiful carnival in the middle of the park, and we took a day during the week to do that. And, you know, what is it for? What is all this hard work for if you can't do that now and then?
Absolutely. Well, I absolutely agree. I love that. I just love your philosophy on that. You know, one of the things I want to just touch on just real quickly is that in the bio, we talked about listening to your inner GPS.
Yes.
Could you tell us just a little bit what you mean by that?
I mean, we all know those moments in life when everything's flowing smoothly and wonderfully. We know we're in the right place at the right time, doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing with the people we're supposed to be doing it with. And, you know, everything just feels right, seems right. It's just totally working. Life is working. So you've had those experiences, obviously. Uh-huh. And then there are those times when they're not, and it doesn't feel right. And sometimes we ignore that.
So that's what I'm talking about, our inner GPS. We really do know when we're doing something that's good for us and right for us, and then we really do know when we're not. And sometimes we proceed anyway without listening to our own inner GPS, and we sometimes have consequences to that. So I'm a big believer in listening to our inner GPS or our own, some might call it intuition, but I think it's a little bit different to that, but just our own sense of what we know is right to do for ourselves and following that, even if everybody around you is not necessarily agreeing with you or you are taking some kind of risk or step that's trailblazing that can frighten other people sometimes. But if you know it's right for you, I mean, I knew it was right for me to leave everything I ever knew in Australia and at the age of 31 move to New York City on my own. People thought I was a bit crazy, and mm-hmm. I knew it was right for me. I was compelled. My inner GPS was screaming at me that that was what there was to do, and I listened to it, thankfully. But I would just encourage people to just really practice that skill of being able to listen to what it is you really want to do and create in life and to follow it.
I think that's really, really important. So you have a book called The GPS Girls Roadmap for Your Future.
I got that title. Yes.
So how do people get hold of that book?
Oh, it's very easy to find. You can come to my website, thegpsgirl.com, and there's all kinds of information about the book and a shop there to purchase. You can purchase on Amazon. It's available as an e-book. It's available on iBooks and barnesandnoble.com. So it's available all kinds of ways online. But if you want that specially autographed real copy, you come to my website and I can arrange that. And the book is a journal-style book with lots of lists to write to really sit down and create the kind of future that you would love to have.
That's excellent. You know, just some of the things that I read from that book, I just can't wait to finish it. So how do people get hold of you?
Oh, again, I'm very easy to find, thegpsgirl.com, or I have a Facebook group, so you can find me, a Facebook business page, Karen Jacobson - the GPS Girl on Facebook. So come, please, be my friend, you know, Facebook friend me for anybody who's listening and likes the sound of what I'm up to and wants to be in a in an uplifting community. And I have a Twitter account, and I'm on LinkedIn and all of those different things. So would love to connect.
So if people would like to hire you for speaking or singing, they can do all that through your website?
They can. There's a whole contact page with all of the different people. If they want voiceovers, my agent for that is there. Different booking information, my PR information, it's all there.
Well, wonderful. I mean, yeah, you just have people should Google her. Go to YouTube and find you because you really have a beautiful, beautiful voice.
Thank you. I was just
very, very impressed. Well, our time is up. It just flew by. Thank you for being on today's Inspiring Women.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Oh, and one more thing. You have reached your destination.
I love it. Well, as we're signing off today, I want to leave you with a quick quote. And that quote is from Napoleon Hill. And he says, "Think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seed of either success or failure in the mind of another." You've been listening to today's Inspiring Women. And each week we try to address relevant topics for women to help spark your career and life growth. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.